We are called by God to worship Him. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. I will praise the Lord with all my life. I will sing praise to my God as long as I live. Do not put your trust in princes, in mortal man. You cannot save. Praise the Lord. We do that as we join together in the praise of God. We sing together His word from Psalm number 14. When creation, Lord, shows forth your glory, we know that by our nature we do not seek your glory. We seek only our own. There are many who say that there are no God, who reject the truth which is so clearly revealed and which surrounds us, and yet you look down from heaven upon the corruption of this world and the abominable misdeeds of man, and see how sin has transformed our hearts. Forgive us, we pray, for our sin remembered and forgotten, and how we have preferred the ways of this world than your ways. Forgive us in your mercy, according to your steadfast love, through your Son, our Savior, the Christ who died that we might be forgiven, the one whom those of old who look forward longingly to his coming, the one whom we look back on his coming, but also on how he will come again to judge the living and the dead. But yet, Lord, we have the assurance that for all who have faith in him, that they will be saved from their sin and commended as having pleased you. Grant us more of that wonderful assurance that day, that you, being rich in mercy, because of your great love which you loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ, and that by grace we are saved through faith. So Father, now as you come to your word, we ask that you would work as it is preached, that your Holy Spirit would work freely in our hearts and lives, and that we might be enabled to live more for your glory, enabled to enjoy you more. Father, may nothing I say or do add or take away from your word this day, but to you may be the glory given. We pray this, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Saviour. Amen. Please be seated. We're going to read two portions of Scripture today. The first is from the book of Genesis, Genesis chapter 5, and then we're going to read from Hebrews chapter 11. Genesis chapter 5 to begin with. I always encourage you to turn to it and follow along. We're thinking today of this passage about Enoch and how by faith Enoch walked with God and then he was no more. We're going to work through it in that order, by faith Enoch, and then he walked with God and then he was no more. So Enoch from Genesis chapter 5 and verse 18 to 24 is our opening reading. Genesis chapter 5, reading from verse 18. This is God's word. When Jared had lived 162 years, he became the father of Enoch. And after he became the father of Enoch, Jared lived 800 years and had other sons and daughters. Altogether, Jared lived 962 years, and then he died. When Enoch had lived 65 years, he became the father of Methuselah. And after he became the father of Methuselah, Enoch walked with God 300 years and had other sons and daughters. Altogether, Enoch lived 365 years. Enoch walked with God, and then he was no more, because God took him away. Amen. We thank God for his word. We can trust all that it says. And then over to the book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 11, where we pick up about Enoch's faith. Hebrews chapter 11, two verses there. It would be helpful if you keep a finger mark in Genesis, because we're referring to them both. Hebrews chapter 11, and we're going to read from verse 5 to 6. Hebrews chapter 11, and we'll read from verse 5 to 6. This is God's word. By faith, Enoch was taken from this life, so that he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. Amen. Thank God for his word. We can trust all that it says. Today we come to Enoch, and it's safe to say that as we do, that most of us know about our great uncle, more about our great uncle Jimmy, who the family don't talk about, than we know about Enoch. Or, you know, if you don't know about your great uncle Jimmy, you can find out about your great uncle Jimmy, because you can go to the public records office and learn about the marriage, deaths, and birth certificates, and find out all about your great uncle Jimmy. If he was born long enough ago, you can go back through the census records, although most of it was destroyed in 1922. But for Enoch, the references to Enoch in the Bible are few and far between. There are only three. We read two of them. The first are from Genesis chapter 5. He's only mentioned in the genealogy of Adam. He's not given his own section. Then in Hebrews, where he's mentioned, and much of what is said is also mentioned in Genesis. And the only other place that we're told about him is in the book of Jude. which tells us that Enoch, well, he prophesied about judgment that was to come. So what we know of Enoch is that, well, he was also a preacher. He was one who preached of the coming judgment. And that's it. Really, we know so little about this man. If you think in comparison to Noah that we'll be thinking about next week, we've got three chapters of scripture to look through. If you think of Abraham, we have many more than that. In fact, there's so many people in scripture that aren't even part of the visible church that we know more about than we do about Enoch. Like, think of Potiphar, Pharaoh, and Pontius Pilate. Three P's, that wasn't purposeful. Enoch, though, on the other hand, well, you go into any Christian bookshop, or you go on to Amazon and do a wee search and look for a big book on Enoch, and I would say you'll struggle to find one. But what little we know about Enoch here is truly wonderful. It should lead our hearts to rejoice, for Enoch was a man who had faith. And although we're not given much detail about him, the life that he lived or what he did, we should marvel because we may be able to trawl the census records or family letters and all those things about our great uncle Jimmy. But the one thing that so often those things fail to convey to us is the most important thing that we can ask. Is did Uncle Jimmy have faith? It's a question that matters for all of us. And as we get to Enoch, the most important thing that we learn from about Enoch, the most important thing is that by faith Enoch lived. By faith Enoch. We're going to refer to both Genesis and Hebrews here, so it would be helpful if you had a finger on both. Start, we're going to look in the book of Genesis. So please do turn with it to me, because we're given a little bit more detail in the book of Genesis than we are in the book of Hebrews about Enoch. In the book of Hebrews, what matters is that Enoch had faith, whereas in Genesis, it helps us to see where he fits in. So Genesis chapter 5, what we have here is the account of Adam's line, and we're told in verse 1 of Genesis chapter 5. What this does is it traces the descendants of Adam all the way down to Noah. But before we get to Noah, we're told about Enoch. But I want you to look back, because before we get to Genesis chapter 5, there's Genesis chapter 4, obviously. Before that, we're told of another son of Adam and Eve, and that was Cain. Back in verse 17, we're told about how Cain lay with his wife. She became pregnant and gave birth to Enoch. So there's two Enochs here we're told about. Enoch, the son of Cain, and Enoch, the son of Jared. But look down to end of chapter 4, at verse 25. Because there before we trace the line of Adam's descendants, we're told that once more Eve gives birth. This time it's to a son, and his name is Seth. Seth, the third son of Adam and Eve. When you think of Abel, who is named useless or meaningless, vapor, breath is what his name means. Whenever we come to Seth, his name literally means substitute. Seth is a substitute for Cain and Abel. A substitute in which the line of the serpent crusher would come and would be followed through. It is through Seth that eventually the one that Christ would come. Seth the substitute in which they have hope. So here we have Adam, and then followed right through we have Seth, we have Enosh, Kenan, Malachi, we have Jared, and then we finally get to Enoch. There's no mention of the faith of Jared or anybody else in Hebrews or in the book of Genesis. But if you have your Bibles open in front of you, flick over to Genesis chapter 6, because we learn something about the time that Enoch lived, which is helpful, the culture that he lived in. And Enoch, in chapter 6, verse 5, we're told that the Lord saw how great man's wickedness on the earth had become, and that every inclination of his thoughts, of his heart, was only evil all the time. In the midst of this, we have Enoch. Enoch, a man who by faith walked with God. What we had after the fall was a spiral, not a progression, but of man's fall into wickedness. Things were spiraling out of control. Things went from bad to worse after the fall. And then we have Enoch, son of Jared, And he had brothers and sisters, we're told here. He was a man, though, that what is important is that he was a man who walked with God. Verse 24. See, throughout the scriptures, we're being pointed to something, hope that comes, hope that it comes in Christ. So Enoch, one of the children who was Jared, and we don't even know if he was the eldest of their children, but what we do know is that he walked with God. He was one who walked with God. We don't know how much about his sons and daughters. In fact, we know so little about him. We know that this family line is traced through Methuselah, who lived right after the flood. But interestingly, this bit that Enoch walked with God is so important for all of us. He walked with God. The book of Hebrews, if you've got it there, says it slightly differently. It says that Enoch was one who was taken away from this life. He did not experience death. He could not be found. He was taken away. And he was commended one as pleased God. Enoch walked with God. He was one who pleased God. It wasn't that Enoch took a hike around with the Lord and put on his hiking boots with the Lord. No, that in his life, his walk was something that the way his life lived was something that pleased God, as Hebrews makes clear. Enoch sought to live in a relationship with God. He was one who had faith. You know, we don't know the ins and outs of his faith and what that walk looked like, but from the Word of God, there are some things that we can safely presume from the scriptures of what that involves, and we'll get to those in a moment or two. But before we begin that, before we think about those things that Enoch would have done, I want you to think in your own mind, at its most basic level, what does it mean to walk with God? What does it mean that you walk with God? I'll give you a few examples of the scriptures as we try to think this through. In the book of Amos, the Lord, through the prophet, asked the question, and it's a good starter as we think of this. Do two walk together unless they have agreed to do so? Do two walk together unless they have agreed to do so? To make it a simple point in this rhetorical question, do two walk together unless they've agreed to do so? No, they don't. Two don't walk together unless they've agreed to do so. There has to be a common meeting between two parties for them to walk together. The prophet is making the point that whenever you walk with someone, you're going to the same place as them. You're agreed together of where you're going. In Leviticus chapter 29, Leviticus chapter 26, the Lord, warning his people about the discipline that they would receive, says this to them. He warns his people, if they do not turn back to him, but if they walk contrary to him, that he would also walk contrary to them, and he would strike them sevenfold for their sins. In Deuteronomy 8, we're told, observe the commandments of the Lord your God by walking in his ways and by fearing him. God told his people to walk in his ways. To walk in his ways is to seek to please him. The problem for all of us is that by our nature, our enemies of God, and we're not walking in the same direction as the Lord our God. We're walking, as Leviticus puts it, we're walking contrary to him. We cannot walk with the Lord if we're his enemies. You have to be born again. Hebrews chapter 11, if you've still got it open there, you'll see that we're reminded is that in verse 6, whenever it speaks about Enoch, is that without faith it is impossible to please God. At its most basic level, what we need is faith to be able to walk with God. We cannot walk with the Lord unless we have faith, unless we are born again. For all of us, what we need to do, though, is to walk with God, and there are some things that are essential in that. Hebrews 6 goes on to remind us that verse 6 in Hebrews 11, anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists, and he rewards those who earnestly seek him. Don't miss the word must. This is what we must do to please the Lord. Let's first of all believe in him. Now, this isn't just a head knowledge or academic knowledge of who the Lord is. It was, you know, we must believe in Him and it must impact our lives. Then James in James chapter 2 says, you believe that there is one God. Even the demons believe that there is one God. It's not a belief like the demons who believe that God exists. It must be a belief that impacts our lives and how we live and what we do. It means that we earnestly seek Him. What is it that earnestly seek the Lord for all of us? Well, something that they're earnestly seeking the Lord by going for a walk in nature to be closer to God. And while, yes, nature declares God's glory, that's not how we earnestly seek God. That's not what it is to go in for a walk with God. How would Enoch walk with God? Well, we don't know the ins and outs. It doesn't give us the story or an autobiography of what Enoch did in his walk with God, but I can guarantee you it would have been very similar to how we walk with God. And you're right, boys and girls, it would have revolved around his word. It would have revolved around prayer. See, we are on the other side, though, of what Enoch looked to that Christ. We're on the other side of his coming. Christ has come and he will come again. But God has given us, through Christ, sacraments which are visual aids to help us, which Enoch wouldn't have had. But ultimately, our lives, our walk with the Lord should be revolve around the word, about prayer and worship. So how do we walk with the Lord? How do we please the Lord? Let's start with His word. How do we know the Lord? We know the Lord because of what He has revealed Himself in Scriptures. David, Psalm 109 says, the word of God is the lamp to my feet and the light to my path. Paul in Timothy chapter 2, or 2 Timothy chapter 2, 3, or chapter 3 says, all Scriptures God breathed, it's useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, training in righteousness. You know, we look to God's word, we read God's word. How do we know God? We know Him through His self-revelation and His word. And God audibly speaks to us here whenever His word is preached. Scripture teaches that whenever God's word is preached, God is speaking if we want to hear Him. Enoch may not have had the full revelation of God. He may not have had Genesis to Revelation in front of him. But remember that Enoch, whenever Enoch was still alive, that Adam was still alive too. See, Adam only died 57 years before Enoch was no more to take it from this life. How did Enoch hear about Christ and have faith? Well, it was passed on from generation to generation. It was passed on from Adam forward. As people worshipped the Lord, it came through them. And I wonder, did Enoch and Adam converse? Did they share what Adam and Eve experienced in the Garden of Eden? As Enoch talked with Adam, was it shared of the wonder of what had happened there and the loss that was there? Did Adam share of the wonderful hope of the Messiah? Well, he must have. Because Enoch had faith. There's another thing here. A question for us. Are we walking with the Lord rightly whenever the Word of God clearly says one thing and we do another? It's very easy to think that it doesn't matter, that God will forgive us, that sure, He's a God of grace. But whenever we hear God's word say one thing and we do another, then we're saying that what matters is us, not God. We're rejecting God's word and we're living contrary to it. We're not walking together with God. We're trying to go our own way. The next thing that we need is prayer. Enoch would have been a man of prayer. God gives us prayer that we can offer up our desires and all things agreeable to His will to Him. We come in prayer to the Lord God Almighty and He hears us through faith. We can come whenever we're facing anguish, pain, stress, disappointment, whatever it may be. Our Father knows what we need before we bring it, and yet He invites us. Jesus tells us and instructs us to pray. He invites us to come and to pour out our hearts. The God of creation and the universe desires to hear our thoughts and prayers. Here's a simple question. Are we praying? Are you praying? When was the last time that you prayed? And you could give me the smart aleck answer and say, well, about 10, 15 minutes ago, whenever as a congregation we prayed together, because we do it together. Well, yes, that's right. But when was the last time that you went into the quiet room or space or sat on the edge of your bed or got down on your knees or when no one was looking, that you prayed to your Heavenly Father? This is a big gauge for all of us. It's a gauge to your walk with the Lord. If you never talk with the Lord, never commune with Him in prayer, well then there's something wrong. And if you've never communed with the Lord in prayer, then there's something drastically wrong. Are you praying to the Lord your God? Are you pouring out your heart to Him? Next thing God's given us, which Enoch didn't have, are the sacraments. And for those who partake in the sacraments through faith, they're there, they're a sign and seal, but they're there to strengthen our faith. They're signs and seals of what God has done. They're a reminder of the wonder of what Christ Jesus has done for us. The covenant sign is placed upon our children, and we have the bread and wine to remind us of the blood and the body of Jesus, how we're partakers in His death. Spiritually, God feeds us in these things. One more thing. If you have Hebrews still open in front of you, look back at Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25. This might touch a few nerves. But you see, there's something that some people today think is optional. Hebrews chapter 10, 25 challenges it. It says, let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another. And all the more as you see the day approaching. You know, I know that some of you are watching online who you can't be here. And I understand that. We understand that. How does we choose to neglect to meet with us? How do we encourage one another? Well, it is by being here together. We come to worship God, but in doing that, we encourage one another by our very presence because we are the body of Christ. Because we are the church. You know, the church, it's not the building. The church, Greek, is ecclesia, which literally means the assembly. Church, by its very nature, are an assembly of people. People who meet together, meet as one body, and neglecting to meet together means that there are parts of that body missing. Do we make a priority of these things? For all of us, do we make a priority of what these things that God has given us, known as His ordinary means? Because they should be a priority. But also think to that idea of walking. Enoch walked with God. You know, whenever you walk, there's an intentionality about it. You have to get up, you have to move, you have to take steps, you have to make the effort. Whenever we walk with God, there's an intentionality about it all. And for those who, through faith, receive Christ Jesus, as Colossians puts it in chapter 2, verse 6, then we are to walk with God. You know, Enoch was only able to walk with God and please God in this godless world that he lived in by walking daily with the Lord. Secondly, then Enoch was no more. See, both Genesis and Hebrews make this point. Enoch walked with God, he pleased God, and then the Lord took him away from his blessed life so he did not experience death. There's only two people in the Bible, in this history of the world, who have not experienced death. I'll not give you a quiz, but the other one from Enoch is Elijah. Both were taken out of this life and they were taken to glory. They didn't face the last enemy of death. They went straight to be with the Lord. But for the believer who have faith while their bodies remain in the grave, They immediately go to be with our Heavenly Father. In death, we go to be with Christ. We immediately pass into glory. But Enoch and Elijah, for Enoch, there's no grave, there's no place where we can go and we can pay our respects, because he went to be with the Lord. Went to eternal life. Christ will return. He's coming, and he's going to come and judge the living and the dead. And for those of us who are left, whenever he comes in faith, we will be taken up with Christ in the air. As Thessalonians puts it, we who are still alive will be caught up together with him. We will not face the final enemy of death before being reunited with the Lord. But yet, through Christ, Enoch went with him. So for all of us here, we can likely fill in more of the blanks of great Uncle Jimmy than we can about Enoch. We can be more certain about most of great Uncle Jimmy's life circumstances than we can know about Enoch. But yet what we know about Enoch is marvelous and wonderful, because Enoch walked with God. That's those four words that matter. Enoch walked with God. I referred to it earlier, if you still have that Genesis passage open. There's another Enoch. Enoch, the son of Cain. In Genesis 4:17, Cain lay with his wife and she became pregnant and gave birth to Enoch. Cain was then building a city and he named it after his son Enoch. The Enoch of Genesis chapter 5 knew that there was something far more important than a temporal legacy. He knew that there was something far more important than something that would one day lie in ruins. Because what Enoch, the son of Cain, achieved has long been forgotten about. But the Enoch, son of Jared, he walked with God, he was with no more, and he has gone to be with his Heavenly Father. And by one day, through faith, we will meet him. We researched Uncle Jimmy. If we find he had left a legacy beyond what we could ever imagine or achieve, but that he did not walk with God, then it matters not. The only lasting legacy that any of us can leave behind our children, children's children, is that they walk with God, and we are rich indeed. And sadly, there are many people who think that they're walking with God every day because they do good deeds. Because they love their pets. They sometimes go to church, and perhaps they believe that they're even doing God's work for contending away a return to the past, to the glory days of the church. But what they fail to see is that they're walking not with God, but on the broad road to hell. They're not walking with God because they have not believed in Christ Jesus. And yet each day, God graciously, through creation, declares that he exists. Erects billboards along the way saying, turn back, trust in Jesus. But sadly, tragically, many people walking on the broad road to hell think they know best. They finally say, they keep on walking without ever walking with the one who offers eternal life and forgiveness. Instead, they treat the King's only son, the Christ, the Messiah, as a visitor during COVID. They leave him outside and wish that he hadn't bothered calling in the first place. You do not walk with God if you've rejected the Son. Your best efforts are sin-stained rags. The most important truth that we learn about Enoch is that he walked with God. Is that you today? If you walk with God, and how is your walk? Are you making a priority of what you've been given about the ordinary means of grace that God has graciously given for your benefit? How's your reading of the Word of God this well? How's your listening to the Word of God preached? How's your desire for the sacraments? What's your prayer life like? How's your walk? By faith, Enoch walked with God. For without faith, it is impossible to please God. Amen. Thank God for his word. Let's stand together as we join together in prayer before the Lord. Father, we come before you, and the four words that tell us everything that we need to know about Enoch is that Enoch walked with God. Father, we rejoice in that wonderful truth, that he walked with you, and through the blood of Christ that would be shed, that he indeed was forgiven. He was redeemed by his blood. And thank you indeed for the hope that Enoch had in the one who would come, the one who has indeed come, the serpent crusher. Help us, like Enoch, to look by faith in the Christ for our hope, knowing that it is through him that we likewise will be commended. Thank you indeed, Lord, for the blood that was shed for us, that we might be forgiven. For your word that teaches us all that we need to believe concerning you. You require of us. We thank you for your ordinary means which you have given us. Help us and equip us as we walk by faith, knowing that, Lord, the only lasting legacy we can hope to leave is that of faith in our children's children. If that is what we leave, then we are rich indeed. Lord, at this time we come and we bring before you our prayers of intercession and supplication. This is a world in need. We pray for your church universal, that it would have confidence in the power of the gospel, that it would know that it is the power itself to change lives, and that the gospel may be shown in how those who claim Christ live for you. We pray for our leaders nationally and internationally, as humanitarian crises continue, where wars rage, where there's economic instability, manic inflation. Lord God, where people can't even afford to put food on their table, we pray that, Lord, you would be at work. For our own land, that you would work amongst our political leaders, that there would be stability, that there would be a cooperation, but most of all, that there would be a conviction of sin and a repentance and faith in their lives. Father, we pray that you would grant in our own community, those who are troubled, those who suffer, those who are discouraged, that, Lord, that indeed they would find support in time of need, especially from your church. And we remember those who are facing illness at this time, seen and unseen. You would be at work giving health and strength, perseverance in the midst of it all. Those who are disturbed or troubled, give rest and understanding. For those who are lonely and alienated, give fellowship and love. Those who are aged and frail, give homes of comfort and security. And for, Lord, all others, help them to know the hope that there is in Christ Jesus, the hope in the Christ. And that help us, we pray, to live by faith. Heavenly Father, we present all these prayers to you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. We're going to join together to sing our closing hymn, Blessed Assurance.
Thank you.
Christ, the love of God the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, with you all the same forevermore. Amen.